All right, very good. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. We started last week a series on mercy and grace. God is so very good to us. And I hope and pray that we can live a daily life realizing that God is very good to us. I know it's easy to say that and point out things where God mistreated you, which is hilarious. But in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of what we go through, God is always good. And I want you to know God is always good. And I know I've been saying that a lot lately, but I even have to tell myself that from day to day to day because I don't want that flesh to creep in and try to convince me that God is not good. I don't want that flesh to try to convince me that God is not wonderful. God is not everything that God has cracked up to be. We live our lives defeated because we don't see the good things that God does because it's easier to see the bad. And what's amazing is I see more and more people daily looking for the bad things long before they look for the good things. They look for the bad things because they seem to think that the bad things are much, much bigger and more in abundance than the good things are. But I'm going to tell you right now, the good things are far more in abundance than the bad ever could be. Even if we start just with the first thing, and that's with you knowing that you're going to go to heaven someday. If you got nothing else from the Lord, if you receive no other grace, no other mercy than the simple fact that you do not have to go to hell, but you get to go to heaven, those two, that mercy and that grace alone is good enough. But boy, he sure does give us a whole lot more than that, doesn't he? If we look at the Bible again, I want to just bring this this statement back in your mind. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The mercy is that is Him not giving us hell. We deserve hell. We're sinners. We deserve hell. I don't care how good you are. I get a little tired of hearing about that. Well, I'm good, this person's bad. No, we're all bad. Real easy. We're all bad. Don't go around life thinking that you're good because you're setting yourself up for serious disappointment. No, we're all bad. And God says that that mercy that I'm going to show you is going to put you in a place that is not hell. What a good God we have that He is not going to give us hell. I know this is elementary preaching, but I got to be honest with you. Every once in a while, we need to come to the remembrance that God's not sending us to hell. That's what we deserve. Let me tell you something, folks. Hell is a real place. And I'm telling you, the further I get in this game, I come to the realization that more and more people are going there because we're not doing our job. We're so excited about coming to church and sitting in the pews and being comfortable and listening to the wonderful music while everybody around us is going to hell. And we seem to have lost our care. We seem to have lost our wet eyes. We seem to have lost that desire to want somebody to get saved. Well, you say, Brother Dave, in this day and age, more and more people are not going to get saved because of what the devil's doing. The devil's telling you that. God is still powerful. Christ is still saving. The blood still has its power. It's because of us not saying something that people are going to hell every single day. What bothers me is that we have lost that thought process. We have become comfortable with the fact that we deserve to go to heaven. Not one of us deserves to go to heaven. That's God's grace. God's mercy says you don't have to go to hell. God's grace says you're going to go to heaven. Glory to God, isn't that good? Glory to God. I have preached 4 funerals in 8 days. I have no idea where these people are. But I know where I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be in hell. When I face eternity, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. And I'm so excited to know that I'm going to heaven someday. That's God's grace. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. I'm so excited to know that I don't deserve heaven, but He's going to prepare a place for me. Isn't God good? Boy, it makes the bills go away when you think about heaven. Boy, it makes the hardship that you're feeling towards another Christian go away when you're thinking about heaven. Oh, Brother Dave, I never feel ill will towards any of my fellow Christian. You liar. But boy, when you think about heaven, it sure does make what that other lady's wearing go away, doesn't it? When you think about heaven, it sure does make what the preacher, the preacher hurt my feelings. He hurt my feelings. Well, if you love the law, you won't be offended. Well, praise the Lord. I'll amen myself. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Praise the Lord. Even he doesn't get offended. Amen. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. See, we had this Bible, the Word of God given to us to show us that we're sinners. The law was given. It was the schoolmaster that taught us, hey, listen, you cannot make it on your own. You cannot, you're sinners. These things are given to you. You say, well, I live by the Ten Commandments. You don't even know what the Ten Commandments are. I bet you if I went around this room and say, you name them to me right now. Oh, we'll get a few. Thou shalt not kill. We all know that one. And thou shalt not commit adultery. And you shouldn't talk bad about the other people. I'm going to tell you, you come up with those ones. But understand this. You don't know them all, so don't tell me they live by them. God gave them to us to let us know that we couldn't. That's what these verses are trying to tell you in Romans. That offense that abounds, it's crazy to think about. God gave us these rules. God gave us these thoughts. God gave us these stipulations, letting us know that we are sinners. And then at the end of that, he says, but, God is so good. He says, but, I know you're going to offend these things. But, I know you're going to mess up. But, I know you're going to have problems here because of these things. And because of these things, my grace is greater than all these. My grace is greater than all these. My grace is greater than all these things. The Bible says that my grace, moreover, the law entered. We got the Bible and we got these things that the offense might abound. He wanted the offense to abound. He wanted you to know that you were doing wrong. He wanted you to know what you're doing bad. By the way, I hope and pray that your preachers the rest of their lives tell you what the Bible says about what you're doing wrong. I also hope and pray that our preachers come to the realization all of our lives, all of our days, that we too are doing wrong. And if we all can realize that we're doing wrong together, we can get in this Bible and find out how good God is that He overlooks all those things. Doesn't take away. I would to God that we'd have a little bit more holiness preaching today and a little bit less of the frilly stuff. So you got to be honest with you. We got to know what we're doing wrong. If your child continues to do wrong and you don't tell them they're doing wrong, guess what they're going to do? They're going to continue to do wrong. I see it in the school. I come after them. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like waiting even a minute to tell a child that they're doing wrong, and I want them to know that they're doing wrong. Why? So they can stop doing it. It's not hard. I don't want no child left behind. I'd like to leave some on their behind is what I'd like to do. See, we live in a day and age where we have got to understand that, yes, God is good enough to overlook those things, but He also wants us to start to do right. Well, I watch all my bad movies, but I know God's going to forgive. It's under the blood. You know, God's not mocked. He and I know, this could get real crazy. I could get real liberal on this kind of preaching. I refuse to do that. I'm going to tell you, God wants you to do right. God's desire is you do right. God's desire is you to obey. Well, brother, the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Yeah, He wants you to obey. Some of you, it's a sacrifice to obey. So you got to understand, yes, we have mercy, and yes, we have grace, but that does not give us the liberality to do whatever we want to do. Does not give us the liberality to feel whatever we're going to do. Live and let live. That's what everyone says. It's not the way it's going to be in heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a day and age where we need to get back to what God has told us to do. That's why all the different versions are out there of the Bible, because the devil wants to muddy the waters. We don't know exactly what the truth is anymore, Brother Dave. And if he can put question marks behind the Bible, just as many independent, fundamental Baptist preachers, in quotation marks, have done, they've put question marks behind this word, question marks behind what the truth is, question marks of what you can take out soul winning. I would love to stick my size 11 in a place where the sun don't shine over an independent, fundamental Baptist preacher putting a question mark behind the Word of God. And I don't care in what age. I use the King James, but that's a question mark. I can't stand that thought. I believe the originals. I'm going to tell you, I've heard that more times, making me want to throw up. First of all, you've never seen them. By the way, the originals were never down here. Let me help you out a little bit. The originals never made it to the earth. The originals started in heaven. My word is forever settled in heaven. It was always there. We got a copy right off the bat. Well, that one was inspired. I'm going to tell you, if the Lord took his inspiration off his word, then I'm going to tell you he could take his salvation off of you. But God cannot lie. And God cannot change. I got to believe he's not going to lie or change and change his word. Amen. See, what's amazing to me is we live in this day and age where we have great mercy, we have great grace, and we use that so desperately. The one thing that we do as Christians more than anything else is find loopholes. We can't wait to find, well, let me get a way out. That I can drink my alcohol, I can look at my pornography, I can do all the other. Well, grace abounds, brother. You preached it. Yes, it does. It does abound, but it should make you become sober in your life to realize how good God is. Yeah. How merciful and graceful God is. Yeah. You throw your tantrum, yes, he forgives you. But you know, he sure would like it if you'd stop throwing your tantrum. He sure would like it if you'd stop doing what you're doing wrong. See, Christian, to preach grace and to preach mercy, you also must preach holiness. You have to. You have to. Because we are soft people. We would love then, oh, brother, preach on this, but don't preach on this. We're a people. We have itchy ears. All we want to do is be made satisfied. All we want to do is be happy when we leave. Let me tell you something, and I believe this with all my heart, and I'll get to the next point here in a minute, but I believe this with all my heart. You'll be happy if you do right. You won't be happy if you feel right. Now, wait a minute. You can feel right all day Sunday. By the way, this is a good crowd for Sunday school. Thank you for coming this morning. I don't know what happened here. Usually stay away in droves. I'm going to tell you right now, you can get a wonderful powder puff message. I could preach grace and mercy in cotton balls if you'd like. But you'll walk away happy for a moment. And then something will set in your life. And you'll do it again. And you'll do it again. And you do it again. You know why you're not happy every day? Because you spend too much time on Facebook. Yeah. Huh? Yep. Oh, people hate my guts when I preach about this. They do. They hate my guts. Yeah. Don't tell me you get on Facebook because you think it's a good way to communicate. You get on Facebook because it's a good way to gossip. Yeah. Get mad at me all you want to. I know there's people on. I can feel your daggers right now. I can feel them. But let me tell you something. You say it doesn't affect me. You know, Facebook hasn't been around that long. Why is it? I hear you. Here it comes. You tell me what you want to tell me, but the last time you said something good was a long time ago. And you can't. You would be off of it if everybody said nice things. Oh, I love him so much, Brother Dave. I love him. He's the greatest. Oh, my goodness, he's great. That's never been on there. You know what's been on there? He's a dirty, rotten dog talking about Facebook is what it is. I'll tell you right now, I didn't talk about Facebook. Facebook is a good tool for the spreading of the gospel. If you will tell me that you, if you told me that you spread the gospel more than one, you know what comes to my ears? By the way, let me help you out a little bit. I don't have to be on Facebook. You all tell me what's on it anyhow. You can't wait. You run to me in the morning. Brother Dave, did you hear what that person said? I'm not on Facebook. I didn't hear it. You know why? Because I don't want to hear it. Amen. Here, let me help you out a little bit. Let me help you out a little bit. And I know I stick on this all the time, but I'm not changing. Let me help you a little bit. You got something to say to me? Come to me. I double dog diggly ding dong dare you. Come to me. Tell me. You got something to say about him? Tell him. By the way, don't tell me. If you got something against him, don't you dare tell me. You walk over, you limp back. Don't come to me and tell me something about him. Here's what's amazing to me. No, wait a minute. I get letters every time I preach about the queers, every time I preach about the sodomites, every time I preach about how it's unholy, an abomination to God, I get letters. You know what's funny to me? You never sign them. You little chicken-livered little... You never sign them. Huh? Let me tell you something. Let me help you out a little bit. Grace and mercy, that's what we're preaching about this morning. Are you getting it? Let me tell you something. You don't sign them? I got a letter signed by God that says it's an abomination. I'm going to go ahead and keep preaching that, amen? Now, wait a minute. You get mad at me about Facebook. You get mad at me about all these things. Do you know why Facebook is so popular? Because you can say things and get away with it. You don't have to face the people you're talking to. You can type it.
Amen.
You know why texting is so prevalent right now? Because you can say things without saying them. You can go to a person, not have to talk to their face. You can tell them what you feel, and you don't have to look at them in the eye.
Amen.
What happened to the days where people looked each other in the eye and said something? Huh? What happened? I use this as an example for my kids. Come here, Phil, real quick. Hey, listen, grace and mercy. I'll get to it in a minute. But I get a little riled. I'm going to tell you, I'm getting a little riled over this crap. Can I say crap in church? I don't think I should, but whatever. I'm getting a little riled. I'm just letting you know right now, I'm getting a little riled over the people of Bethel Baptist Church tearing each other up on this Facebook. I'm just letting you know that right now. And I'm going to tell you, if I continue to hear it, I'm going to come to you.
Yeah,
it ain't about me. Right. I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to let you know I'm sick and tired of you tearing my people up. I'm just the associate pastor. I understand that. I'm just the associate pastor. But let me tell you something. I'm getting a little sick and tired of Christians acting like children and tearing each other up on that Facebook. You got a problem with your brother? Take it to your brother. You got a problem with your sister? Take it to your sister. I'm going to tell you this is what's going on. You get so, Phil, guess what? Blah, 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 yakety schmackety about the woman. Blah, 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 yakety schmackety about another Christian. You know what you tell me? Here's what Christians do. They get on Facebook, talk about it. It's easy. We know Brother Dave's not on it. We can say whatever we want. Now wait. You say something to me about my preacher? Guess what? First of all, don't ever do that. But if you did, this is what I'd do. Honest to goodness, this is what I do. I've tried it. It works. It's wonderful. I don't like that preacher spits on me. Really? Hey, preacher. You want to see somebody run away. You want to see somebody back up. You want to see somebody change their mind and change their thought and change their words real quick. You take them to the person they're talking about. Huh? You want to show me your maturity as a Christian? Quit hammering each other. Take them to the person. You can have problems with me. Do you know this is a society, this is a republic. Well, you can go ahead and sit down, brother. This is a republic. It's not a democracy, it's a republic. You can say whatever you want to say. Freedom of the people, freedom of speech. Go ahead. But you know what? Have the character, have the guts, have the thought process that I'm bold enough, I'm mature enough to I can go ahead and say to them what I want to say to them. I do not have to change everybody else's philosophy and opinion. I don't have to change everybody because I'm going to tell you, if you look hard enough, you'll find somebody that agrees with you. And by the way, a person that talks behind other people's backs will look hard enough and long enough until they find somebody that agrees with them. Do you know what Facebook does? It cuts down the time. Praise the Lord. Well, that's okay, brother. I'm not on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. It's okay, brother. I'm not on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. It's okay, brother. I'm not on Facebook. I'm on all these other ones. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. Get in your Bible. Get in your Bible and quit screwballing around with what the world wants from you. Independent Fundamental Baptist preachers are generally against every single thing that comes out that's new. That's how we're made. We're against it right off the bat. I'm glad I was against this right off the bat. This is tearing lives up. This is tearing homes up. This is tearing you up. And I'm warning you as a preacher, I'm warning you that this is tearing people up. And I hear about it every single day, how you're tearing people up, how you're letting people tear you up, and how you're having no problem being privy to this. No problem. You got no problem with it. And that worries me. Something inside your spirit ought to tell you that this ain't right. And if your spirit's not screaming out, stop! You better check your spirit. You better check your spirit. I was on it for 2 weeks. I had people tearing me up one side and down the other. I don't need that. I don't need to have that happening to me every day. I don't mind you come to me with a problem. That's fine. But I'm going to tell you, I don't need to see that every day. I don't need to have that in my heart every day. I don't need to have it in my heart about somebody else every day. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need to have that. I don't need to have the down in the dumps, the discouragement, the depression. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't want to have it. I don't want to be party to it. I don't want to be party to people that want to be party to it. I don't want to be around you if all you can do is hammer on your fellow brother. Why don't you get right with God and uphold somebody? Why don't you get right with God and try to strengthen the weaker? Why don't you get right with God and dispel the people that are talking? Why don't you just get right with God? Aren't you glad you came to Sunday school this morning?
It's sad to preach.
It's crazy. It's social media. It's a great outlet. You know what? Pick up the phone. Good Lord. What have we come to? We've made it easier to eat each other alive. Christian, that's not right. And by the way, nobody's saying anything about me that I know of, because I'd hear about it. Nobody's saying anything about we will today. They will today. But I'm going to tell you, I don't care. I care about your lives. And I'm not going to come in here and make you feel good, because I want you to go away doing good. Because if you do good, you'll feel good. I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm not. I'm not these fellas that are going to stand up here and tickle you. I'm not him. I'm not them. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. We need to know what's going on. Why did we get the law? We got the law because Christ wanted you to know, don't offend in these things. My grace is greater, but don't offend in these things. Do your best to stay out of this stuff. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. See, you can get off Facebook. Grace did much more abound. You can get off LinkedIn. You can get off Twitter. You can get off all that stuff. You can get off because the grace is better. You can stop talking about each other because grace is better. Grace is bigger. There's more grace than your sin. Glory to God. Isn't God good? But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death. What we're doing in our lives reigns unto death. I'm going to tell you, sin will kill you. It may not send you to hell, but it'll kill you. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God is so good. Mercy brings you back to where you were, and grace takes you beyond where you were. God does not send us to hell, and that is mercy. God does not bring us back to earth. He takes us on to heaven, and that is grace. We had an innocent body tainted by sin, and we fell. Adam, he fell. And because of that, sin passed on all the people. I read the verses to you last week. Mercy saves us from hell. Grace takes us to heaven. The thief on the cross asked for mercy. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus' answer was, I'll do better than that. I'll take you into paradise right now. We deserve hell, but if we trust Christ our Savior, we can have mercy and miss hell. Grace is not that which spares us from hell, for grace is that which takes us to heaven. Verily, verily, John 5:24, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know as well as I do, every single person here has done something that's worthy of condemnation. But God is so good to us, he takes us away from the condemnation. As every man, 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Boy, this is good stuff. What was I just preaching about? Being good one to another instead of eating each other? Aren't you full yet? Aren't you full yet? Aren't you tired of eating the same meal day after day after day, the meal of a weaker? I got to be honest with you. Well, I don't know. I got a real burr in my saddle. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm really not. I'm tired of seeing weaker Christians getting tore up. Yeah. I'm tired of it. Yeah. Hey, I've done it. My mouth has been an open sepulcher from time to time. It has been. I'll grant you that. But I'm going to tell you, I want to do my best to watch more people get right. Yeah. I want to do my best to help them to know there's somebody here that loves them very much. Yeah. I don't want to walk around with a sledgehammer beating people into the ground. I want to walk around with a pedestal trying to lift them up. We as Christians really ought to do that. Being good to one another, loving one another. I've been in a few churches, Bethel, and I've got to be honest with you. There's nobody that loves better than we do. I am not ready to let the devil in here and start teaching us that it's okay not to love. As every man has received the gift, turn to 1 Peter with me. I want you to see chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given us grace in so many ways. I know a lot of your lives, but I'm just going to use mine. I was saved at 11 years old. You know my testimony, but it bears, this is the verse for this. God has let me be steward of His wonderful grace. God saved me when I was 11 years old. 1981, Lighthouse Baptist Church. Because a man decided to obey God and start a church on Galena Street, made no sense whatsoever what he did. It made no sense whatsoever that I was there.
Yeah.
Made no sense. It does now. At the time, it made no sense. Little boy, 11 years old, man preached on hell, and boy, he preached on hell. He preached on hell in super church? That's just scaring kids. Hey, praise the Lord, I scared me.
Amen.
Say what you want to say. Praise the Lord, it scared me. But here's what happened, and I don't have the same testimony as the vast majority of preachers out there. I lived a horrible life, got saved, and God got me right. No, I got saved, and God, I got stupid. And I did not do what God wanted me to do. But He gave me grace, Brother Phil, throughout that whole time. Brother Dave, I know that you're drinking, and I know you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and I know you're living a horrible life, and I've given you grace all the way. And I look back on where I was and the mercy that God had on me, because He could have squashed me at any moment for not doing. God gave me a stewardship of the grace that He has given. God is so good, He allows you to partake in the grace that He has given to you and shove it on to other people. We so often ignore that, by the way. We so often ignore the grace that God has given you, and we don't give it to others. We have no problem accepting the grace, but sharing the grace sometimes we've got problems with. Sharing the grace, we can't wait to condemn a brother when God never wanted to condemn us. Oh, somebody help me this morning. This stewardship, this grace that you've been given, this is it's a job, it's a privilege, it's a joy to be able to give grace to someone else. But let me ask you a question. Think about this with me, Christian. Is it your fault that somebody is in this church today? Think about that for a minute, because you've been given grace. And if you deny that, you need to get a psychiatrist. Is it your fault that somebody's in church today? Let me help you. It's His fault that I'm in church today. Let's face it. Go up your family tree. I'm not talking about your family. I'm talking about your family of God. Who led you to Christ? It's their fault you're in church today. They passed on that grace to you. They were a good steward of the grace that was given to them. See, grace has been given to you. I'm not talking about the mercy of salvation is a thing of grace. Mercy is a thing of missing out on hell. Salvation and what God's going to do for you is a thing of grace. We'll get to that in a moment. That grace has been given to you freely. What'd you do to deserve it? Did you all of a sudden become a good person? I know I didn't. I went the other direction. I became a bad person, real bad. I wasn't so bad at 11. Normal kid stuff, breaking windows, whatever. Disobeying mom and dad. You know, your kids do that all the time. But here I am as an 11-year-old boy, and I went the wrong direction after salvation. I took that grace that God gave me and did nothing with it. And I held on to it. And as a good steward, I didn't help anybody. I hurt people. But God still let me have the grace. God, Miss Sonia, still let me have the grace. Didn't take it back. You know, the great thing about God, and I know I ranted like crazy this morning, the great thing about God is you can turn off what you've got going on in your life and stop and come to a realization that God still let you have the grace. I can stop drinking. I was a drinker. I'm 14, 15 years old. I was drunk a lot. That's horrible. That's not something to be proud of. That's not something, oh, praise the Lord. Now, that's horrible. To do what God gave me, wonderful grace and a wonderful opportunity to help and be a steward of that grace, and I went out and wasted it on liquor and wasted it on stupid. Are you kidding me? That's horrible. But I come to the realization that even through that, God let me still have the grace. And God brought me through all that. And now here I am. Is there, think about this now. I am a steward of God's grace. Still, I still have it. A steward of God's grace. And I'm commandeered to share it. I'm commandeered to tell folks how good God is instead of how bad God is. Why did he do this to me? And I'm going to tell you, there are times that God does things that I don't understand. And that's the truth. Preachers get, oh, I've got it all figured out. No, they don't. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, not to the preachers. There's times when babies die and people get cancer and all these horrible things happen. I understand. I don't have the answer. But I know God's still got grace. I don't know. I don't know why things happen. I don't know why Miss Annie has had 85 knee surgeries and goes through these horrible times. I don't know why Brother Bob Bevington is suffering with Alzheimer's. I don't know why all these things are happening. But glory to God, I know that God still has grace. I know it. And I'm telling you right now, through the dark times, through the bad times, through the discouraging times, through the depressing times, quit looking down and start looking up, because God still has grace. Manifold grace. All different kinds of ways, all different kinds of thoughts, all different kinds of ways, and he shows it to you. God has grace. He's got grace for your bills. But you won't give your tithe. He has grace to take you out of the bad, but you'd rather stay. He's got grace to take us through the times of bad health. Hey, listen, if you don't see grace working in our preacher, I know he's not completely healthy yet, but he should have died. Because of God's grace, we still have him here. See, I don't know why God does the things that he does a lot of the times, but I know he's got grace. Every man hath received the gift. That does not exclude you. That includes you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you received that gift. Every man. Every man that has received that gift. You're a saved person, you've got it. Even so, minister the same one to another. One to another. Be graceful to each other. You said something bad about me. I'm supposed to show you grace. That doesn't work well, does it? Well, we can't wait. Oh, I know. Brother Phil says something bad. Hey, Brother Phil, I'm so glad to see you today. They say something bad about you. You can't wait. You dirty rotten dog. And you'll go over here to Brother Tom. Did you know what Phil's? He's just stupid. We're supposed to give grace one to another. Hey, listen. Grace. Listen. Well, this is so good. See, God gave me grace even when I was doing wrong. Amen? Somebody's doing wrong to you. And by the way, I was doing wrong to God. I was sinning against God. I mean, sinning against God, and he showed me grace. Here's Phil sinning against me and doing things and saying bad things about me. Do you know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to be a steward of grace, one to another. I'm supposed to show grace. I'm supposed to show grace. Hey, that grace may include saying, hey, brother, I don't really appreciate what you said. I'm not supposed to say it to him. I'm not supposed to say it to him. I'm supposed to say it to him. I don't really appreciate. If you have aught against a brother, take it to him. Quit screwballing. I hate this. I hate gossip. I hate closed doors. I hate meetings where people go in and shut a door behind them. You dirty dog, you're not saying anything good. I'm going to tell you right now, I would rather go to him and hit it settled and show him grace. And show him grace. When you do things wrong, you find grace to God. God gives you grace. Does he want you to do right? Does he chasten you sometimes? You better believe he does. But he doesn't chasten someone else. He chastens you. And he says, I'm going to show you grace. Do you know sometimes it's grace when you chasten? Well, that doesn't work out, does it? Very well. How does that work out? Chastening is grace. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, my son goes up and reaches and touches the stove. I'm going to chasten him. That's showing him grace. Why? Because if I don't, he's going to come back with a burned hand. Right. Amen? That's grace. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Grace shows its face in many ways. Grace shows its face in many different aspects, in many different avenues. But it's always grace if we decide to show grace. The word manifold is only used about six things in the Bible. Six different things. In Amos 5:12, it's manifold transgressions, all types of sin. In Psalms 104:24, it's manifold works of God, all kinds of works. In 1 Peter 1:6, it's manifold temptations, different types of temptations. In Ephesians 3:10, it's the manifold wisdom of God. In Nehemiah 9:19, it's the manifold mercies of God. And if you know anything about Nehemiah, man, did God show mercy there. And in 1 Peter 4:10, we just read it, it's the manifold grace of God, all kinds of grace. Do you know why? Because we're all kinds of people. And we need grace in different ways. There are many different forms of the grace of God. God has given to His children many things that we do not deserve. Manifold mercies of God means that God has not given us many things that we do deserve. The manifold grace of God then means there are all kinds of things we did not deserve that God gives us. That's why we can sing, God is so good. That's why we can sing Amazing Grace. The grace didn't stop at your salvation. It was just beginning. As we go through this life, and we're an above average church, I'm telling you, I know we are. I know. We keep saying it, but it's the truth. Many people, Brother Coolidge, have lived paths that we don't deserve God's grace. And we know it. By the way, even you good ones don't deserve God's grace. But He shows His grace. And I always pick on Coolidge when it comes to this. I want you to start seeing God's grace in the little things. The things of the everyday. God answering our prayer with bringing our preacher back, that was a big one. I mean, that was a big one. Okay. But do you know that God's grace was with us the whole entire time? Let me give you an example real quick. This is good stuff. How did we know to go and pray for our preacher? Can you think with me for a minute? How did we know that? How did we know to take the Bible and read over our preacher? How did we know to go to those verses and claim them for the Lord Jesus? How do we know that? How do we know? How did we know how to seek God in prayer and fasting? How did we know that? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. No matter the bad things that we have done, God gave us the grace to know what to do. Here's the thing, Christian, and I'm all done. You know what to do, too. If you're having problems with alcohol, you know what to do. If you're having trouble with eating each other alive, you know what to do. If you're having trouble with pornography, you know what they are. That seems to be becoming a lot more prevalent. I'm real worried about that. If you're having trouble with that stuff, God is so good to you. He's so full of grace that you know what to do about it. You know that you can come to this altar. And God is so full of grace that He's told you and directed you here. And I've got to be honest with you. I believe that some of your hearts have directed you here and you just never have made it. You ever felt that way? You know that you got something going on and you need God's help, but you don't want to come here. And you know why? Because the devil tells you that other people are watching you. Can I help you a little bit? When you go to the altar, it doesn't hinder people. It helps them. It encourages them that there's a path too that they can take. That's the grace of God. And by the way, when you come to the altar, you're being a steward of the grace that God has given you. You're showing other people that you need this place too. And by the way, so do they. When we partake in God's grace, it's not a one-way street. It's supposed to be two. When a light bulb turns on, the light bulb can't help but light everything that's around it. Can't help it. That's what light does. Well, Christians, you're supposed to be a light with the grace of God. You shouldn't be able to help it.
Right.
Your stewardship, it shouldn't be. You can't help it. He can't help but talk to people about the Lord when he's out. He can't help it. I should be that way. Or I can't help it. I've got to give the grace that I've got. I'm like a light bulb. I'm on. I can't help it. What I'm hitting is because you're in my presence, and I can't help it. Light's going to hit you. What a wonderful grace of God we have. Man, he's good to us, isn't he? I'm going to tell you God's good. And I'm going to... How do you think that you knew about God's grace? Because God's grace is manifold. Many kinds of grace. He's given you that so you could share it with others. Be a good steward of the grace that God has given you. Be a good steward of the mercy that God has shown you. That way you won't feel happy. You'll be happy. Let's bow our heads in prayer, brother. Dear Lord, I don't deserve anything that you've given me. In this room of sinners, I know what Paul felt when he believed he was chief. Oh, Lord, the life that I led after I got saved, horrible. But Lord, even though the life that I led was not a good one, you are so much better. Your grace abounded in the sin. Even though I was sinning, your grace abounded and was so much greater. God, thank you for sparing me to have an opportunity to be a steward. Now, Lord, please help me to become a good one. Help me, Lord, to be louder about what you've done for me. Help me, Lord, to be brighter and shinier about the grace that you've shown me. Oh, God, please, I'm begging you. I need you. And so does this room full of people. Lord, they need you today. They need you today. Oh, God, they need you. Lord, please help them to see that they do. Lord God, please anoint Brother Leonard this morning. We need to hear from you. I'm glad he's here, Lord, but we need to hear from you. Lord, please anoint him to speak exactly what you'd have him to speak, preach exactly how you'd have him to preach, and not like he'd preach, but like you'd have him to preach. Oh, God, I know that he'll be bendable to that will. And Lord, please continue to be with my pastor. There's so many people that are sick in the hospital, Lord. We need help for them, and we need help for our preacher. He's not 100%, Lord, and I'm counting on you to make him 100%. Lord, please do. And Lord, be with the services today, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.